I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360. Today we'll take a trip to a laundromat in New Orleans, where rhythm and blues was pretty much born. And later, another improbable New Orleans gem, the Swedish-born Teresa Anderson, plays live in our studio. But first, 2 weeks ago, the biggest machine on the planet fired its first proton beams. The Large Hadron Collider is the 17-mile particle accelerator in Switzerland. Tens of thousands of scientists have been involved with its design and construction over the last 20 years. We are talking state-of-the-art stuff here. Giant magnets, super-cooled, nearly to absolute zero. And in October, scientists are going to start smashing protons together at almost the speed of light, trying to unravel some of the fundamental mysteries of the universe.
Prepare to transport to light cycle grid.
It all sounds like science fiction, and the thing looks it, too.
We have transport.
But as Studio 360's Eric Malinsky discovered, the Large Hadron Collider is very real, very, very real.
If you were to fly over the Large Hadron Collider, you would see nothing.
There's the normal Swiss-French countryside. There are many small towns and villages. There are fields with cows in. You would never guess that there's the world's most powerful particle accelerator hiding underneath it.
Dr. Tara Shears is a particle physicist at the University of Liverpool. She's overseeing one of the projects of the Large Hadron Collider, otherwise known as the LHC. When she goes to work there, she enters through a small office building near Geneva. She passes through security, and she steps into an elevator that could be in any college science building, right down to the flyers taped to the walls. There are two buttons, zero for ground level and -1 for underground. When she hits the -1 button, the elevator plunges 300 feet into the earth.
Well, there's a very personal experience to going underground. It's not just your eyes that are being assaulted by the sheer scale of things. There's a very peculiar smell to going underground. It's a mixture of dust and, I suppose, the smell of the equipment. So there's a mixture of oil there and what have you. But it's very unique. And it's not just a smell either. And there's also a noise, a continuous noise, like a rushing noise. And that's because of the air conditioning. Air has to be vented out at high pressure underground to keep air circulating so you don't have stale air down there if you're working.
The tunnel itself looks kind of like London's subway system, the underground.
What you would see if you were stood in the middle would be a series, a chain of long blue tubes next to you. And these cylindrical tubes are actually the magnets whose job it is to guide the proton beams around in a circular path. And if you could look inside the magnets, what you would see is that, in fact, the real business, if you like, the beam pipe that the protons pass through is very small. It's not much bigger than a garden hose pipe in diameter.
The pipe itself may be skinny, but there are layers and layers of magnets around the pipe. It looks kind of like the cross-section of a gigantic onion.
And it's the job of these detectors to track out the position, the paths that these particles take as they fly out from the interaction point. So, for example, we might have a layer of substances like lead crystals, and lead crystals are really good at absorbing particles like electrons or photons of light. So if we take an electronic snapshot, we notice a deposit there that doesn't appear to move out of it, then that tells us basically, oh, we've got an electron, or maybe we've got a photon.
Now, the scientists insist that they never for a moment considered the aesthetic design of the particle accelerator. It is purely functional. But they're going to have to keep denying that, because the LHC is beautiful. The layers of magnets around the pipe shine natural hues that look like copper and silver and gold. Some of the magnets are painted bright blue and orange, you know, just to tell them apart. One section of the particle accelerator called CMS, which is designed to catch some of the most elusive particles, looks like it's made of candy.
No physicist chose those colors. Believe it or not, it was in the design process when programmers were designing a 3D virtual reality version of this experiment that they colored in the constituent parts to identify which parts were which. And it just so happened that the designer that was coloring in the parts for CMS thought, it'll be rather attractive if we have red and white striped slabs here. And the manufacturer got the drawings, thought, okay, they want it in red and white, I'll make it in red and white.
This machine looks like it's right out of a movie. Actually, I'm going to rephrase that. This thing looks like it's right out of a movie from the 1980s.
Yeah, this is our particle accelerator with shoulder pads.
The Hadron Collider is super high-tech, but it was designed in the early 80s. And back then, scientists were thinking big. And the science fiction of the time is big, too. Movies like Blade Runner, Tron, Aliens, the first Star Trek movie.
Send out every game tank in the grid.
The production designer on all of those films was Sid Mead. I asked him if he was to design something like this for a movie, would it look any different than the real thing?
If I was going to design for a movie this something like the Hadron Collider, I would definitely have this huge, huge vault room space, and I would have this ring floating, completely detached, floating around the acceleration tunnel as if, yes, we have discovered what gravity is all about. And when we start this thing up, this ring rises into centered position on the tube, and it stays there until we power down. I think that would be magical.
Now, the LHC operates at 2 degrees above absolute zero, so the scientists will have to rely on computer screens to see what's actually happening inside. But I talked with another production designer, Owen Patterson, who did The Matrix and Speed Racer. From the outside, the particle accelerator reminds him of the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey.
If you remember, that whole beautiful spaceship was made up, I think it's a huge ring that slowly spins. And, you know, the theory being, I guess, if you're on the outside, that ring is creating an artificial gravity. And you would remember the characters walking around that circle.
I like that. Yes. In some sense, that's a really good analogy.
Throughout the movie 2001, we keep seeing this giant black rectangle in space called a monolith. And at the end, an astronaut actually goes inside this thing, and it totally blows his mind. Dr. Tara Shears thinks the Large Hadron Collider might be our monolith.
What that monolith actually represents for us is the universe. It's our understanding of the universe. It's what the universe is composed of, those basic fundamental particles. What holds it together? What makes these things behave as they do? It's all the things we don't understand in that monolith. And here we are, standing next to it, very, very tiny, trying to find out more and being on the cusp, we hope, of finding some headway into those answers.
For Studio 360, I'm Eric Molinsky.
I just hope somebody's keeping an eye on the apes. We have images of the Large Hadron Collider at studio360.org. I'm Kurt Anderson. I asked Jana Levin about the collider. She is an astrophysicist at Columbia University, and like most of her peers and colleagues, she is awaiting that first data with considerable excitement.